Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
Got any miracles in your computer, Spock?
Impossible to predict, Captain.
I don't want a prediction. You will start work immediately, around the clock, non-stop, until you arrive at a formula that gets us out of here.
These computations are useless. Get out of here and don't come back until you have a plan that works.
Yes, sir.
What do you see beyond your eyes, Megan?
Two new ships. In each, beings labor to solve the riddle of the time trap. Escape! Escape!
Gently, good Megan. Return to us now.
It is impossible.
They must try, Sirius. They all must try before they accept.
All right, Dan, why don't you get us started off on this whole podcast thing?
Okay, let's do the podcast. Make sure that you have your podcasting ears on and set your drums to listen.
That's good job. Okay.
Because we're about to start a podcast.
All right, but what's the name of the podcast?
Oh, it's the It's Got Star Trek podcast starring us. And it's we're doing an episode 145.
No,
146.
Yes,
that's what I said. We're doing Star Trek.
I'm gonna start keeping track again.
So
starting now.
Starting now.
Well, we're almost at 150, which because of the vagaries of human culture and the brain and all that.
The vagaries.
People think it's an awesome number, 150.
Well,
the sesquicentennial.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is a momentous occasion because Jesse is now taking notes once again as to what episode we are on. Today we are doing a double feature. That sounds like extra value, right? Well, no, it's the same amount of time. We're just doing two episodes because they're shorter. And what we're doing is we're doing...
It's a cartoon.
I'm enjoying Dan providing so much detail.
Right. And context.
Dan's
yeah.
like the starter. He started out.
Next step starting, usually, Dan, is you've named the podcast.
Well, I was about to do the next step.
Okay, I'll leave it to you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interfere.
No, it's okay. Just hold your horses is all.
All right.
Hold them horses. Right. Nay. So we're doing two episodes. They're shorter. But what we're doing is two Star Trek the Animated Series episodes in honor of Lower Decks, which is coming out next week. We thought we'd prep it by doing some animated shows.
Is it really an honor of it? Or
well, in preparation of it.
That's how things worked out.
So, yeah.
Attributed. These episodes are... what's it called? When this is dedicated. Yeah, these episodes are dedicated to the Lower Decks coming out next week. Is
that
fair?
We did not write and produce and star in these episodes, so
no.
I don't know if we have the
authority. Well, we dedicate.
The authority.
Well,
to
we dedicate this podcast episode.
All right, that's fair. We can do that. And, that is within our authority. Yeah,
our authority. Great. And so what we're doing is season one, episode 12, which is called The Time Trap, and then we're also doing season one. Episode 13.
Jesse, why is Dan doing this funny? He's doing some funny voices. He's doing some funny voices here.
I think it was because of his Cherry Coke Zero.
Ah.
Yeah, I already finished my Cherry Coke Zero. Now I'm on to Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar.
And just so we're square and don't get in trouble with the BBC, there are other cherry flavored colas available.
Right. Yeah, and there's other drinks with bubbles in them.
And other drinks that have zero calories.
And you can get drinks that don't have bubbles at all. And if you don't want to drink something, there's food you can eat as well. And if you're not hungry, you can always just take a nap instead.
All right.
We covered all our bases.
No, we've gotten the title for one of the episodes discussing.
No, I'm saying we covered our advertisement bases, though.
Those bases have been covered.
So the next...
In this double header episode.
The next episode in this rousing double header is season one, episode 13, The Ambergris and Element. Yeah, ambergris.
It's pronounced ambergris. Isn't it ambergris? It's a French
ambergris. Ambergris. Ambergris.
It's like whale fat or something, or you know, something fat. Gris is
it's some kind of whale
business,
like stomach
business.
What are you doing over there? You playing YouTube videos?
She said ambergris. Wait, listen.
What is ambergris?
Ambergris. She calls it ambergris.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry, that wasn't the best way to like... I should have had my laptop wired into the audio, patched into the audio before right? I did that. But like, I was so desperate to get this pronunciation right. Well, she said ambergris.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's what it is. And so you can kind of guess what the first episode is about. But the second episode, you wouldn't be able to figure out what the heck's going on, except that there was water having something to do with it. Because ambergris, who wants to define it?
Well, you would assume it would have something to do with whales.
With a whale.
Yes.
Whales.
Not with a monster.
Great job, Dan.
Well, I'm saying, we got to define ambergris, or are we waiting until we get to that episode?
Let's wait till we get to that
episode. Let's hold those horses.
So here's what we're going to do. This is the structure, right? For those who haven't listened to
previous... It's the structure, Neo.
previous episodes in which we cover a couple of the animated series.
Which we may have actually had a structure.
Episode, perhaps.
We try, though.
So we're just going to go... We're just going to go straight into... We'll do the time trap. We'll do the time trap, which I think may require more discussion than the ambergris element. But then, so we'll do the time trap, and then we'll do the ambergris element. And I think probably the best way is just to sort of plow through the plots of both of these episodes, because even by the animated series standards, I personally found these episodes to be completely fucking insane.
They were really silly.
They were ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, it began with the very first scene in the time trap when everything was exploding for some reason.
And it was just like this repeating, looked like fireworks, but what was it supposed to be in space that does that?
I guess they're witnessing, because they were talking about how this, there's the Delta.
Their sensors were getting funky?
It was the Delta Triangle.
It was a Delta Triangle.
Because this is a Bermuda Triangle rift.
In space. It's just been the Delta Pyramid, then. It's just three dimensions. I don't know. You'd think it would be the Delta.
Well, see,
pyramid.
That's another good point. There's a two-dimensional bias here.
Yeah.
I hadn't considered that.
Well,
I was just sort of aggravated because I don't think you would have found just a straight-up Bermuda Triangle analogy on TOS.
Right, yeah. It doesn't make sense, because there's very specific reasons why there's a Bermuda Triangle. It's not just where mystery monsters live. I mean, I guess it makes things go wacky, but the reasoning is completely different, one would assume.
Yeah, the Bermuda Triangle does not make things go wacky. There are a high number of shipwrecks and plane crashes there, but not an unusually high number. It's because it's also one of the most heavily trafficked areas for both airplanes and boats, especially back in the day.
You're right. But if they were going to make a comparison to the Bermuda Triangle, that's always been, it's always been a fun thing to be like, what kind of craziness goes on in Bermuda? And it's like, they usually say, oh, it's because of the magnets, the magnetic field. You go in and your compass goes in circles. And so if you're going to make that comparison, like, I don't know what would cause... I don't know. Yeah, it was a weird.
It was weird because they had the explosions, and it's like, what are the explosions for?
Yeah, right. So Jesse was saying, and I was thinking this could be it. Maybe their sensors were all fucked up, but maybe it's because they say that a lot of ships disappear in here and just go away.
The sensors were in a state of chaos, according to the science officer.
Yeah, but it looked like the space was exploding. So maybe because the ships keep getting disappeared, those explosions were the explosions of ships disappearing. I don't think it was.
Nah.
Because the Klingon ship just kind of went zoom and disappeared. So yeah, we don't know.
The concept of a pocket of time or something.
And the garment. She said pocket and the garment of time.
Yes.
She said in a really weird voice.
Okay. Yeah.
Not as weird as Megan.
We're going to get to the weird voices.
Oh, man.
And all that.
Megan.
But that basic sci-fi concept's fine. I thought it was a little silly to have the Delta Triangle. Although I did think it was cool, because you think of like the Delta Quadrant or like the Delphic Expanse or something, you know. But anyway, I just found it a little silly. And it was also just very on the nose, because there's Bermuda Triangle and then Delta Triangle, as opposed to coming up with some other term. And then
he says Sargasso.
Yeah. Well, he says, and he says it wrong. Shatner, Kirk says instead of Sargasso, he says Saragossa, like Saragossa.
Yeah, that's right. He does.
But that, for for the uninitiated, for the uninitiated in the Atlantic, that's where the Bermuda Triangle's in the Sargasso Sea. Mm-hmm. So it was very on the nose.
That's just off the coast of the U.S.
Yes, it is. As it happens, it's in the Caribbean.
Like when you're a
or
kid,
or the Caribbean, if you prefer.
When you're a
I prefer
kid
the Caribbean.
It's not really because Bermuda's like not in the Caribbean. It's just
no,
the
it's
Atlantic.
Up. It's up high.
It's like off the coast of like North Carolina.
You say the Pirates of the Caribbean, but then we also say Caribbean Grill. There's a place Caribbean Grill nearby that I'm sure someone else has a Caribbean Grill.
Where's Caribbean Grill?
Does anybody have a Caribbean Grill?
That sounds good.
Does anyone
you mean a Caribbean Grill?
Does anybody have a Caribbean Grill near where they live?
No.
I'm not done with the question.
I was going to ask about the Caribbean Queen.
Okay, look, let me ask my question. My question is, does anyone have a Caribbean Grill near where they live that they pronounce and call the Caribbean Grill? I don't think anybody does. And you guys are just saying it that way to be difficult, but nobody says Caribbean Grill.
Caribbean Queen.
And
nobody
says
lives in the Caribbean
Queen.
Grill but you.
And nobody says Caribbean, the Pirates of the Caribbean. They do, but it's the Pirates of the Caribbean, just like it's the Caribbean Grill. It's not the Caribbean Grill and the Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm not so sure about this.
All right, I think we're all in agreement that this Bermuda Triangle business is silly.
Yeah. That's what TV says to me, Jesse.
Well, even in the context of of a quote-unquote kids show, because we've seen with previous episodes of the animated series that they're capable of doing some like really tightly written, well-written stories, clever concepts, even though they're a little simplified, a little bit more geared
to
kids.
Yeah.
They've done some amazing stuff before. And this episode,
the Spock one was great.
Oh yeah, the Infinite Vulcan. Or are you talking about Yesteryear?
Like, yeah,
Yesteryear is fantastic. Yesteryear. Everyone should watch Yesteryear. But the thing is this episode, it's got a few cool parts into it, but it's just like, I think it's a poorly written episode. There's so much stuff that just does not make sense.
Yeah.
In like what's going on.
Why are the Klingons just lurking there?
I sussed it out after watching it like three times that I think what we're supposed to understand is that the Enterprise is going to explore this place just for good old regular old fashioned exploration reasons. The Klingons catch wind of this, and for some reason the Klingons are like, we should go destroy the Enterprise. And then everyone will just think they disappeared, and that's why they're attacking there. That's certainly the conclusion that Spock seems to come to.
We got to get that pesky Enterprise.
But the thing that was kind of odd about it was like, what are you trying to avoid? Why don't you just shoot the Enterprise like elsewhere? I mean, I guess you don't want to go into Federation space, but the Federation is, I mean, the Enterprise is often tooling about in some other joint. I don't know. I thought it was a little bit of an incoherent.
And apparently Commander Kor had some prior beef with the captain, Kirk. They made some small reference to how Commander Kor was.
Yeah.
Commander Kor was the one that got beamed down on. It was Kor and Kaz got beamed down to the planet. Yeah. And then there was Curie. It was Kurt. Yeah.
It was the voiced by George Takei. He was the one outside the time pocket. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah, he was the first one we see.
That was George Takei doing like a half British accent.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was weird and prissy.
It was weird. So they were talking to Commander Curie, and sometimes those images look kind of funny. Like it looked like he was smiling the whole. He was like, he looked like he was mischievously smiling. He's like, "Hey Kirk, hey Kirk." I'm not. I like like how Kirk sort of like talked down to the guy, because what was it? He was going. He goes, yeah. He goes,
we're gonna get there eventually. I'm betting on it.
So Curie's all, he looks all smiles and sugar, right? And then, but then he says, surrender immediately, or we will destroy you. And like that, those words can't be coming out of that cute face, but they do. And then Kirk puts him in his place. He goes, we didn't destroy the Clothos, and you are well aware of it, Commander. And then Curie's like, I do not accept this. And he's like, frankly, Commander, what you accept is of little importance to me. And he shuts him down. And Kirk put
and
that
then
and we
plan,
never saw Curie again.
And Kirk's whole plan to escape from the Klingons, which I do understand. His whole plan is let's go to where all the other ships have disappeared and never come back. And
right.
You could argue, okay, that's a brave thing. I think partly because of the compressed amount of time we have in these TAS episodes, they didn't, they couldn't like stretch that out a little bit more to make that seem like a more rational decision. To be like, let's try to go into the terrible zone of death.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't clear why they were doing it.
My impression was they assumed that the two other Klingon ships were going to disable them or something. The only justification is that they thought we have no choice. We can't run away for some reason. We can't get away from these
Klingons.
I guess
they were trying to lead Commander Kiri over to that spot to be like, look, they disappeared right here, or something like that. That's what I was thinking. And that,
you know,
they would somehow find evidence of the Clothos.
So they're just getting shot by Klingons, and they're like, well, let's just bring them over here.
And then they'll see what happened, or something, yeah. You thought that they did it to
escape. That was the impression I got.
So you think they knew they would zap into the past when they went there?
Or they would disappear. And I freely admit, this could be an incorrect interpretation on my part. But yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, so all the first 5 minutes or so...
Final Frontier.
The first 5 minutes or so of this whole episode is... The tension is kind of taken out of it because it's in the title. I know that that happens sometimes, but you look at the Ambergris incident and you're...
the Ambergris element.
Element. I was thinking about the Territon.
Well, there's the Territon incident and there's the Andorian incident.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. Anyways, I look at that title and I'm like...
A couple other incidents,
And it leaves enough mystery. After you watch the episode, it's like, okay, I can see how that relates now, but you wouldn't gather that from the plot from the title. The time when you know, like, exactly what's going to happen. You know,
you got some idea because it could. There's another episode,
but
time goes backwards. It could have been something like that.
Right, but as soon as the ship disappeared,
it's a trap.
As soon as the Clothos disappears, you're like, okay, they went to time,
which is a funny name for a Klingon ship too. Clothos,
space time trap.
Yeah, and so when they disappeared, you're like, okay, they went into a time tunnel. And so they follow them into the time tunnel, and then they're like, look at all these weird things everywhere. Everything's so weird. Why is everything so weird? And it's because you went into a time tunnel, man. That's why it's weird. The title told me that you went into a time tunnel. There's no mystery as to why there's weird shit all around you. For you, there is, because you didn't get to read the title. Didn't get to read the title, they don't fucking know. But we had to read the title, so we already know.
The real mystery to me is...
I think they know the title.
Who the fuck... designed the Bonaventure, because the Bonaventure
the stubby prize.
and Scotty was all like, and then the other thing that was a funny ship. I really don't like to criticize artists and their work and all that, and I'm not going to pin it on the actual person who wrote this episode, who was Joyce Perry, because who knows, maybe the studio interfered or whatever. But there were lines that just didn't make sense, like when Scotty was looking at the view screen and he was all like, hey, oh my gosh, there's like ships here that I've only ever seen crude drawings of. And I was like, yeah, they're fucking spaceships. Yeah, they were not designed with the architecture of the spaceships being engineered on a cave wall or something. Like, they were designed with proper... I don't understand this crude drawings nonsense.
Yeah, that was a weird... That was
it's
a
spaceships!
Weird. Yeah.
It's not the Apollo. It's not like with a slide rule either. It's like some proper warp-capable spaceships.
It was hilarious when Spock came up with how to escape. The formula, he was talking about the formula. I like that they showed us the formula, because there's a whole string of garbage, but it was awesome. I was like, there's the formula. It's right there. They showed it to us. I thought that took guts, but it didn't make sense. But then they said is like, their warp drive is kind of like our warp drive. So if we get on top of each other, we'll be able to like go through these like spinning spiral thing to get to the other side of the time tunnel. The edge of the time tunnel was clearly marked by a big swirly spirally thing.
Forget it.
There's a swirl on the way out, but in it's invisible.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how these things work.
Yeah.
It's like it's like a sphincter. It's a space sphincter.
Space sphincter.
There's an inside and outside.
Right.
It looks different from the inside and the outside.
So which is the inside? Because
I think they're inside the pocket.
Yeah, it looked more butthole-ish from the inside than it did from the outside.
I don't have enough knowledge to know whether or not a butthole looks more or less like a butthole on the inside than the outside.
We should look at some inside the butthole pics sometime together.
There's a website for that, I'm sure. You can look it up.
There was one Klingon that said to like the boss Klingon, like, oh wow, that's an excellent maneuver, and like there was no maneuver. Like they just decided they were gonna like, you know, screw over the Enterprise. It was just like, well, we agreed to help, but like we're not actually going to help them. We're going to blow them up with a miniature little...
Okay, well, but there was a bunch of weird stuff going on here. Like, the equation stuff, yeah, on the one hand, it was cool. On the other hand, it was weird that the whole... From the moment they realized they were in trouble, Kirk is like, Spock, I want you to come up with, like, an equation that's going to help us.
Right.
I like the idea of teaching young people that math is awesome and can help solve problems, but you might teach them that lesson better if you don't put a bunch of gobbledygook on the screen that yeah. is, that with no clear explanation, like what was these, were these warp field dynamics?
Right.
Was it something to do with the plasma flow?
Plasma.
Or like, what exactly was Spock doing there? We sometimes have talked about how Star Trek can have too much technobabble. Mm-hmm. Like Voyager is very guilty of that often.
Right. They went the other way.
This is the other direction where they're like, straight up not fucking telling us anything.
Mystical math.
Just they're just writing down some crazy ass symbols.
And it was it wasn't clear so there was Sirius and Devna, right? So Devna was the Orion.
Devna was the Orion who and what I did think was cool was that whole ruling council thing.
Yeah.
And the idea that they would all make peace with each other. They purposely we'll go over the aliens they had in
yes,
a second. But
there were 12 of them. Can you name them all?
I can.
And actually, I think there's 12 plus one if you count Magon.
Yeah, well, so like Devna is an Orion,
right,
who is the interpreter of laws, mm-hmm. which was a cool thing to do, given that even at this early stage in Star Trek, Orions were associated with the Orion bad, you know, the like shady
right.
stuff, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
Was Sirius a Vulcan or a Romulan? I think he was a Vulcan.
It was hard to tell, but I think he was a Vulcan. There was an older dude.
They had another pointy dude.
That could have been another Vulcan
they
or a Romulan.
They didn't have any spoonheads, though. Spoonheads hadn't been invented yet.
No, they hadn't. No,
but they named the place Elysia, which is similar to Elysium, which is also associated with the ancient, you know, the whole, you know, that's a heaven, basically.
Yeah.
Right? So.
It had that thing where you're on the planet and you get this feeling like the planet is a very small place because, and I know it's a whole planet, there's a bunch of shit,
but was it a planet or was it just a ship or something? I think we never
never found out, and that's the thing. That's a good point.
It was like a ship.
There was no reason for there to be a planet here. Yeah,
for some reason I was under the impression that it was a planet and they were on a planet, but that makes sense. They never actually said that. So, okay, yeah, I don't know. They just had this room, and we didn't see anything outside of this room, so I would have liked to get at least some idea, just a shot of, like, what this place they're living in.
And that what I was going to say is, another thing we often see in the animated series that's done well is they take advantage of the animation to do these grand vistas and these crazy sets and crazy aliens and stuff. We got some crazy aliens here. You get a few old looking spaceships, but they didn't really make use of the animated mm-hmm. format to really situate the audience in a particular time and space and all that.
I can't remember the episode near the beginning of the season where it was that kind of gas monster that was digesting people
with dark matter, like cilia or something. So lonely.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that was great because they went in that ship and there was all this awesome colorful shit everywhere.
That was a really good episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this episode is somewhat disappointing in part because there's no geography. I don't understand where I am at a given moment.
Even when the Enterprise went through and the Klingon dropped, remember that explosion pill that they had?
Yeah.
When they dropped the explosion pill,
they had a little like disposal hatch just on the side of that side of the bulkhead.
And then it doesn't
explode or anything.
Yeah, from a viewer, what we saw is I think that was Commander Kor was sitting there completely still, looking at some kind of cube television where the Enterprise is completely still. It was just a still image. Then it cuts, and then it cuts to the Enterprise. Then that thing goes out the hatch, and then the Enterprise goes away, and all we see is the Enterprise blow up. We find out it didn't blow up, but it just looks like it blows up. But then the reason we know
an explosion.
Well, so the only reason we know that it didn't blow up is because it cuts back to that same still image of Commander Kor looking at the still image of the Enterprise, and we're supposed to intuit from that it's like, oh, the Enterprise is still there, because you see the shot of the Enterprise, it looks like the Enterprise blows up, it goes back to him, and it's still a shot of the Enterprise, but the context is all fucked up, and it's like really abstract, and that's what we're supposed to gather. It's like, oh, I guess it didn't blow up, even though it looked like it blew up, but it didn't there. It was very confusing about how that whole explosion process worked. It wasn't clear.
It was lazy.
Yeah, it was very lazy. So, yeah, when they were trying to escape...
Sabotage.
Another thing is when they were trying to escape...
Why are you laughing, Dan?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to interrupt your point.
Go. No. Did you have something to say?
Sabotage.
God damn it. What are you trying to do to me, Patrick?
I'm not trying to sabotage your point.
Mm.
I am trying to sabotage your plan. It's William Shatner can't pronounce things properly.
Sabotage.
You know what's funny is all three of us, Sabotage. All three of us independently took note of that before we met up. We
I think that's a famous thing. I think the Sabotage. Best, the best thing to come out of this entire fucking episode.
And his eyes get all like wide, like.
Sabotage.
Sabotage. You're saying sabotage.
Sabotage.
Sabotage. Succotage. Saskatoon, like Saskatchewan.
There was we're talking about confusing things. So we were talking about Orion Devna and Xerius the Vulcan.
And okay, a quick point about the voices, because the voices are weird in here. Most of the female voices are Nichelle Nichols in this episode. Majel Baer is like not even in this episode normally, and she's going to be in the next one we discuss, but just nothing in this one. And I love Nichelle Nichols, but she made some interesting acting choices in this particular episode, and Devna was one of them because Devna spoke in a really weird fashion.
And then the other snaky girl or whatever, I don't even know what she was supposed to be. Like,
you're talking about Magon,
the one that had like a super weird voice that was like telling him about the explosives.
Yeah, that was Magon. Yeah, the psychic power.
They called her Megan, except Xerius called her Magon.
Yeah. And can you do it? Can you impersonate her voice, Dan? Because it was freaking me out.
It was
actually making me upset.
No, it was
when she
really
was talking.
Fucked
we
up.
Hear that they've got a pill bomb on their ship. I should have detected this earlier. It's too late now. It will explode.
it's a good thing she said something worthwhile. Like, yeah. Because like they should have a rule where it's like you can only talk if you have something important to say.
That's the only reason they're keeping her around, because she occasionally says something worthwhile.
So this is what I thought, that I'm about to play a clip of something that I thought that Commander Kaz, Klingon Kaz, and it also sounded like from the Ambergris incident, Cadmar and Nephro the Aquin and the Starfleet man Clayton, but this is Kaz the Klingon.
Don't jump ahead, man.
I'm not, well, I'm just, okay, sorry, my bad. I'm just giving a taste for things to come, but this is what it sounded like to me. It's coming.
The story of how two brothers and five other men parlayed a small business loan into a thriving paper goods concern is a long and interesting one.
Didn't that, so that's, that was the box factory guy in the Simpsons episode where Bart Simpson goes to a box, they go to a box factory and Homer thinks Bart gets turned into a box. I can't remember what the actual plot of the episode is, but that to me, if you watch the episode back, I know it's hard to make the comparison now, but watch this episode or the next two and look for Kaz the Klingon or Clayton and Nephro and Cadmar from the next episode and then play that clip, the box factory guy from the Simpsons. I swear it's the same actor.
I was going to comment
either
on the
that, either that, that or they were the same person.
The Klingon captain, was it Kor, you say? He sounded like a Klingon because he was all like, "God damn you, Kirk! I'm a Klingon." Blah. But a lot of his other crew were speaking with like a mid-Atlantic, like 1940s movie star, like kind of like that accent. I was like, "Well, okay, Captain, that's a great idea you have there, Captain." It was very strange. Very strange decision.
Actually, I think Clayton was in this episode. Maybe Clayton and Kaz were the same person. It could have been that they were the same person.
Could have been. How about this? Let's take a quick break, and then we'll finish up talking about this episode, because I still want to talk about the folks in the ruling council and a little bit about Spock's friendliness to the Klingons and that whole weird plot development. All right. We will be right back. We're back. And then there's the investigation music when they're like kind of poking around, finding stuff. The investigation music. Maybe we'll save that for later.
Oh, I just wanted to mention real quick, if you happen to see, look at the Twitter stuff at all, maybe you haven't, in which case, disregard. But I was going to talk about like that whole entry on Urban Dictionary I had.
It was nut brown ale, but apparently it wasn't. You misremember.
I miss.
All right, so no. I'll just set the scene for the audience.
Set the scene.
So for audience members who may not have tuned in last week, when we discussed Elementary Dear Data. Dan mentioned that in his younger days. That was only last week. In Dan's much younger days, quite a long time ago now, he added
shit, motherfucker.
He added an entry to Urban Dictionary. He thought the entry was nut brown ale, and he alluded to a childish definition for this term that he was reluctant to convey on the podcast. It turns out it was not, in fact, nut brown ale. It was a different term.
Right. So this is going to be rather anticlimactic, I said I was going to talk about it, and then upon further introspection, I think I'm going to remain coy about this one. I'm swimming around in a big pond. I'm a koi. Then call me a pond that the koi fish thing swimming around. Right. I'm a koi. Anyway,
koi fish.
I'm a koi fish. So it is a play on that, and it's associated with a company. It's associated with a beer company specifically. Right. That's what it was. Is I specifically associated with a certain beer company. Yeah. So it's there, but I'm not ready.
We'll reveal it on our eventual Patreon.
Yeah,
you can pay us.
Right.
And find out. What the Urban Dictionary? You can pay us cash money,
boy,
Venmo, PayPal if necessary.
So it's
that's
not
extortion.
Even, so were you just were misremembering the thing about nut brown ale, or you were?
I think it's close.
My guess is it's close.
No, he didn't remember it right.
I didn't remember it right.
It's close, and he's not going to tell it. By the way, audience, he has also refused to tell either Jesse or I, for perhaps obvious reasons.
I don't want you to have that kind of dirt on me.
Yeah. Okay. So the ruling council. We talked about Devna, who's an interesting character with the whole Orion and being in charge of the
Did you notice that weird? She was doing some kind of dance of the Orion people, but she just struck a pose.
It's because it's a kid show, so I guess we didn't get to see the sexy dance.
Right.
But also on the council, I just want to go through these things real quick. The Zinti cat, right? So they have.
That's what that was, a Vinti cat.
Zinti. It wasn't Zinti. It wasn't a Cation, because in the animated series, they have two cat people, the Cations and the Zinti.
And it looked like it had lizard fins for ears.
Yes, and on Lower Decks, they have the Dr. Ta'ana is a Cation, but they also have another crew member who's a Zinti.
They're more spacey cats.
Yeah, because they got those lizard ears.
But this Zinti cat he had a look on his face when the camera was panning over, like he was embarrassed at how like fluffy he was, because he was all like he was all fluffy and he looked a little awkward. He was sitting next to like a tired looking Andorian, and then there was a bug creature that I guess you could retroactively call like a Zindi insect creature from Enterprise.
That's probably the most apt comparison I could think of.
They had a plant creature, from the Infinite Vulcan.
That was the green thing with the.
Yeah.
The tentacles.
The Infinite Vulcan, highly recommended podcast episode. We had a lot of fun doing that one. It was episode 72.
Was that Big Spock?
Why was he so big?
You know, so many episodes.
He wasn't infinite. He was just bigger.
So many episodes of Star Trek, the animated series, have like a boss like that they're fighting. Like in the next episode, there's like a giant shrimp thing. And then there's some more. They fight these big giant rock dinosaurs. Yeah. And then in one, they have a big giant Spock that they're going up against. They got this. See, it's like, is this going to be one of those big monster episodes? It seems like that's its own type of TAS episode.
It really does. They have a gal that's got no nose and is wearing a space helmet.
Oh, you're talking about the one that looks like a doll, or like she kind of looks like a future version of a robot, like a 50s robot woman.
To me, it was just a woman who had no nose and was wearing a fish tank on her head.
A fish tank on her head.
Yeah, she was wearing like a fish tank. You might be talking about, there was the lady with the ridiculously pointy breasts.
Yeah, that looked like a robot.
Like a man drew that.
A man drew that in the 50s.
Who wasn't quite clear on what the concept of a woman was.
Right.
Drew that.
It seems like in the 50s.
Just put a couple of eyes, a mouth, and some boobs on there.
It seemed like a 1950s version of like some housewife robot thing, like some kind of stereotype.
They were doing storyboards, and then the director Hal Sutherland came by, and Hal Sutherland, who directed all the episodes of TAS, basically, Hal Sutherland came by and is like, "What's wrong with that lady?" And the artist says, "I don't know what you're talking about." It's like, "What's wrong? Well, her boobs are not pointy enough. Mm-hmm. Make her boobs more pointy. This is a kid's show, goddammit. They got to have pointy boobs and cat ladies trying to molest the crew."
So you've seen, you saw the Zinti, the bug Zinti, Zindi bug,
You saw
there's a Gorn.
There's a Gorn. A fucking Gorn. Yep. And there's another somebody else with pointy ears.
There's a what? So we can assume maybe that's a Romulan, I guess.
If they're trying to have everyone,
or a Klingon from a, I mean Klingon, a Vulcan, a Vulcan from a different era.
They did have a Klingon.
Vulcan from a different mother.
They did have a Klingon.
Did they have a Klingon on there?
Yeah.
Now, did they have a Klingon on the council or just the Klingon?
I'm pretty sure they did.
I don't think they had a Klingon on the council.
It's hard to tell because it's like the old style Klingon that just looked like weird humans.
I thought they did.
I don't know. I think there was just a bunch of Klingons hanging around because they were having like a party and stuff. And, you know, they were doing all that. There was like a lot of Klingon action.
Well, they were stuck there. I don't remember seeing any woman with a fish tank on her head.
Well, you got to go back and
look. Was that on the 12 quorum? Because at one point
it was in the ruling council.
The council.
Not to be confused with the ruling crowd. Tribunal, which is the next episode.
Wait. Well, no, but the council on this one...
Just to make it very clear.
The council on this
the
one...
The ruling council is what we're talking about. The ruling tribunal, that comes next.
So I counted 12 creatures on the ruling council.
Creatures, they're people, goddammit.
Species of things. I counted...
Things.
This is what
you're
I saw.
You're digging a hole, man.
In order to dig a hole in you. I cut from left to right, Vulcan, Klingon, Zinti... Andorian, Bugman, Greenwalker, some kind of doll, a Romulan, a Pigman, which is that a Tellarite?
Oh, Tellarite, we forgot about the Tellarite. Yeah, they had a Tellarite.
A human, a Gorn, and then the Orion. I didn't remember anyone on the quorum with a fish tank for a head. But
the one you named was, there was the woman who had no nose has a fish tank on your head. But perhaps you need to watch it on a bigger TV or something. Or maybe on a smaller TV.
Maybe it's the one that with the doll that I was thinking of, the doll.
Yeah, with no nose. It's very clear the person
who
has no nose.
Maybe we split the doll and you.
How do you think she smells?
Wait, you said that the.
Wait. All right.
Wait.
He meant. How does she perform the action of smelling?
Terrible.
I'm pretty sure that's what Jesse meant.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because otherwise, it's that old joke about the dog, right?
Yeah.
No, that is the old joke. So, I was doing that joke.
So you're saying the woman, Patrick, the woman with.
That's me, Knightley.
That's me, Knightley. I'm Patrick Me Knightley.
My name's Patrick.
You're saying that the woman with no nose is different from the woman who looks like the 50s robot.
The 50s robot, I was just kind of going with you. There's a woman wearing a white. Why are we talking about this?
So you don't even know what I'm talking about?
She's wearing a white uniform.
No, that's a human.
That's the human.
She's sitting next to the Gorn.
The other lady has no nose and has a fish tank on her head.
No, that was the one. That's the one that I was saying looked like a 50s robot.
Okay.
If you had just said that they were the same person earlier, we wouldn't be confused right now.
I don't.
Fish tank on your head versus a 50s robot.
Yeah.
They were the same person.
Okay. All right. And what's next on the docket?
So they were trying to... They were trying to escape, right? And here's an inconsistency, I believe.
Oh, you found an inconsistency in this episode.
Except not...
Wait. Are you serious?
You're making fun.
Wow! Wow!
I was just confused by... I was confused about the relationship between Devna and Xerius, because first Devna's telling Xerius that...
Yeah, they both... They switch positions.
Yeah,
because... It doesn't make any sense.
Right, you know what I'm talking about. When she says, they must try to escape. They will not be happier unless they try to escape. Oh, they
and
must. And Xerius is all like,
Gandalf.
I don't know. And then later on, when they're trying to bump through the time anus, they
well, sphincter.
Sphincter, my
sphincter.
Fault.
I mean, that, we don't have to
but
go
that's
all
when,
the way to
but
anus.
But that's when Devna says to Xerius, she switches stances and goes, Xerius, they're going to kill themselves. What can we do? And Xerius is like, we must not stop them. They are doing what they must. So it's like... It's like he was trying to stop them first. He was trying to stop them from going first, and Devna was like, no, they must. And then later on, Devna was like, we must stop them. And then he was like, no, you must let them. They switched. Is that what you're talking about, Patrick?
Sense, because it's like, we can't escape, so you can't try to escape. Like,
that's not what they were saying.
That's what they were saying.
No, they weren't.
There was a political discussion going on, and I think Jesse's correct that like part of the ruling council was the vibe was, no, once people are here, they should be here. The reason it's confusing is for the point you're making, Dan, which is they confuse the entire issue because they set up the whole argument in which Devna is all in favor of let them do whatever because it's not going to work and it'll get it out of their system and then they'll be happy to hang out with us. And then the Vulcan guy is all about about like, no, we shouldn't let them do it because it could be dangerous to them, and they should be peaceful and just join us because we're awesome. And then later on in the episode, they reverse positions.
Yeah, right.
And she grows concerned that they're now going to try it, even though she was advocating for them trying it.
Right.
And he's like, no, he should have been like, you were right in the first place.
So the question is,
did anyone read this script?
Did you? Ho!
Ho!
So actually, the question is, now, did they try to stop them because they were worried they were going to hurt themselves? Or was it like what you said, Jesse, where you said they didn't want them to go because they wanted them just to stay and keep them company?
Well, that one, whoever it was talking about how like they tried to escape but couldn't. Mm-hmm. And so they just learned to accept that they had to stay there.
He's trying to, so he's trying to accelerate
guys,
the
so
process.
So you guys got to stay here too.
Yeah, he's like, well, don't
That's
even
what
bother.
She was
Yeah, but well, both of them were saying it because, again, I have a feeling this was a poorly written episode and it's confusing.
Yeah, it seemed like Devna was more concerned for their safety and Zirius was more just like, no, they're stupid, they're wasting their time. It seemed like she was more legitimately concerned, but either way, it didn't make sense, so yeah.
I agree.
I hate them.
Going back to the Spock equation, I did want to point out that...
Spock equation.
When they figure out the whole, like, you know, we gotta team up with the Klingons, which, again, it's a good Star Trek message, the whole cooperation. It was a little on the nose, where it was like, we have to cooperate by gluing our ships together.
Yeah, and it didn't...
When they were explaining that plan, at one point, McCoy was clearly about to say something horrifically racist about Klingons.
Yes.
He racist that in the 1970s, Hal Sutherland was like, we got to cut that off.
Yeah.
Because we want people to imagine how horrible whatever he was going to say was.
This was the line. Scotty goes, but this involves combining our ships with the Clothos. And Kirk's like, that's correct. And McCoy goes, you mean you want us to cooperate with those? And then Kirk is like, if we want to get out of here, it's our only choice. And yeah, so McCoy was about to say something really, really
and
fucked up.
Perhaps.
And it was made more fucked up by the fact that he was interrupted, because we can only imagine.
And,
like you said.
And perhaps feeding into that stereotype of the racist old guy, he then asks a Klingon to dance later.
Oh yeah, that was weird. That part was shoehorned in. It's like, what are they doing dancing?
Well,
like,
because they wanted to have a conflict, because the whole,
right,
they needed to engineer this extra obstacle. They've already gotten over it, very easily gotten over the obstacle of cooperation with the Klingons, because as we know, the Klingons had a plan up their sleeve.
Sabotage.
But the thing was that they needed another barrier, and so they had already established that the ruling council of Elysia had a prohibition against any form of conflict. And so they wanted to have some conflict that would cause them to have to arrest them. And they could have picked any number of different things. And what they chose was that McCoy, who has already been established as racist against Klingons, decides to ask a Klingon woman to dance, which then starts a fight. It's not his fault, but it's still, you know...
So...
It's a little weird.
It's weird. Actually, first I thought that he was trying... I thought he asked the Orion to dance, but I guess it makes more sense he asked the Klingon to dance. But yeah. Because
the Klingon was like, she's my woman.
Yeah, it was the whole... It was all. Yeah. It was very inappropriate on McCoy's part. It was weird, and
it
didn't make...
It was misogynistic no matter which way you look at it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I was wondering if that would... Did that distract them enough to allow them to put the explosion pill in the Enterprise? Was that... Was it causing a distraction? Is that what the point was? It seemed to me like you said, it was to create conflict. It was supposed to make us, you know... It was supposed to build tension, being like, oh no, they're gonna put him away and then they won't be able to go home. But that got resolved within about a minute.
All it did was,
It
set up Kirk being a nice guy.
And it actually did make an interesting point about like how... Punishing someone else, yeah. Punishing the guilty can harm the innocent, can punish the innocent as well. So that was an interesting point. But yeah, there was no tension. This and the next episode both had these weak moments of trying to bring up tension that got resolved in
Zero
about a minute.
Yeah.
And there was nothing like ever like, and you didn't even know that there was tension happening until afterwards. You're like, wait, that was supposed to be tense right there. Yeah. You know?
Now that was ridiculous. The Devna doing the sexy dance and then Kirk, you know, being all like, well, that was beautiful. And then she was like, oh, you've seen the Orion dance again? He's like, oh yeah.
It's not like Jeff Goldblum.
Many times.
Many times.
So all the dudes in this episode
been around the block.
They're all coming off more creepy than they did. They didn't do this type of stuff in TOS. Like, I know the stereotype of Kirk is that he was some tomcat or whatever the appropriate term is.
Old tomcat.
But, I hate that word.
I know, Dan does not like that term.
It's just weird.
The thing is,
I don't like it. I don't know. But something about it. Just,
It was always a stereotype. When you actually watch TOS, Kirk has some romantic entanglements, but often...
better than having quantum entanglements. Am I right? No, actually, I think I'm wrong.
You may be wrong about that. TAS actually feeds into that stereotype a little bit more because Shatner really does play Kirk as being like, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Numerous times. It's a little off-putting.
So, yeah, back to them escaping with the Klingon ship, doubling up. All we know is that the Klingon ship has a warp drive that's just about equally capable as the Enterprise, and somehow putting them together gets them through the time tunnel, and then some...
But also Spock's equation.
Equation, yeah. Sure. He added the equation to two of those things that... with comparable engines, yeah, that's somehow that didn't.
And of course, the Elysians don't think it's going to work. It does work, but because of the way the episode is structured, we'll never find out what their reaction to that is.
Yeah, right.
Will they now decide, oh, maybe we can figure out a way out,
That was the other thing.
Now you can fly back and forth in there because now they know how to get out of it.
They never gave a compelling reason.
I think they're going to stay, though, because they're a bunch of dummies.
But the Federation could go back in because now they can be fairly confident. Right. They're like, okay, we've got data. We know exactly how much dilithium we need. We know how the dilithium reacts to this weird pocket of time.
They go back in, they should just murder all those
people. So they never gave a really compelling reason as to why those people couldn't escape where the Enterprise could. I guess it's just latest technology. I don't know. There's hints of it from different time periods.
You can extract hints of it because they do talk about how even though time is going very slowly in this pocket of space, there is some weird side effect and a convenient side effect for the plot where the dilithium starts breaking down, and that's what Scotty's talking about. So you could argue that all the other ships, nobody ever came up with the idea of putting two ships together or two or more ships together, and as a result, all their dilithium is broken down, so there's no usable dilithium, so they couldn't get out of there.
No one thought of putting two ships together and a magical equation.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's
Still, to me, it just seems kind of weird. It's like, what was it about the Enterprise that got out? Spock? Are we supposed to say is Spock basically the one we have to is the reason they got out? The Spock? They didn't have a Spock. They had other Spock. Vulcans, but those Vulcans weren't Spock.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Spock had that eyebrow that all went like.
Oh well, yeah, at one point when one of the orchestra hits happened or something, or trumpet went. His eyes all went like.
Well, and when Kirk beams away or gets beamed away, there's that like crazy music cue, and then it slowly zooms in on Spock.
Yeah,
and that and he does that thing. But then there's the whole business with Spock getting all pally with the Klingons twice.
Yeah,
and
I know there was a reason. He had a plan in mind, but it was like still ooged me.
The audience knew there was a reason, but it was weird.
Yeah.
And then it was weird that Spock wasn't explaining this to anybody. And then it was also weird that McCoy and Kirk were like pretty quick to be like, man. We can't trust Spock anymore.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, that guy's gone crazy.
Yeah.
When the audience immediately understood, oh, Spock's got something up his sleeves, which apparently was just to get some like light pseudo, like not quite mind melding, but maybe just mind tickling or something.
Yeah, so I wasn't aware that Vulcans could like absorb people's.
He was doing Troy.
He was
a Deanna Troy.
He was doing an unbreakable thing where he was like putting his hand on people and he could like read their thoughts by making contact with them. Like they never. I didn't know Vulcans had that power. Is that what Beta Zeds do too?
Well, they don't have to put their hands.
Well,
on
see,
people.
he was like when he puts it, like you said, it was a minor.
You gotta use your hands.
They don't even have to put their hands.
It was like a minor mind meld because he was able to not just mind meld.
That's why I called it mind tickling.
But he just all he had to do was put his hand on someone. So apparently Vulcans can do that. I don't think that's ever happened in any of Star Trek.
A mind cuddle.
Has that ever happened?
I can't think of another.
I
can't. If we can't think of it, must not have happened.
Might not have happened.
But yeah, it was kind of. I agree. It was awkward and weird, and it was another example how in this script there's a lot of poor writing in this script in the sense that they mix up characters' motivations. Mm-hmm. They have people do things and not explain them in a proper way. There's some stuff that just contradicts itself or doesn't work. However, I think the greatest example of the bad writing, or at least potentially, arguably, is at the very end of this episode when you have this wonderful ending exchange where McCoy is upset that the Klingons are giving the credit to themselves for getting out of the weird void, right? Mm-hmm. Uhura intercepts a communication from Kor, back to his home base saying, we got out and we saved the Enterprise because we're geniuses. We're super cool. And McCoy responds to that news by getting all pissed off. Right. And then Kirk is like, it doesn't matter, Bones. And then I think it was Uhura says, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And he says, that's what matters. And then that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, what matters?
Exactly. Yeah.
What is he talking about?
I thought I'd missed something.
Is the fact that it doesn't matter, is that what matters? Or was he looking at the star field and was like, these are familiar stars and they're now home? Because they do I did really like the line that was earlier in the episode where he's talking to the ruling council, Kirk is, and he says, home with all its faults is where we prefer to be, which is an awkward way of saying it. Yeah. But I did think it was maybe not profound, but a very interesting sentiment.
Maybe
right?
He was being even more profound at the end on this one. Maybe it was like really good writing.
But he wasn't like pointing at the screen and saying, that's what matters. He wasn't pointing at anything. Mm-hmm. He just said, that's what matters. And everyone's just satisfied with that response. Mm-hmm. And the episode concludes.
It was also kind of a weak setup from Uhura because like, it doesn't matter. It's like, well, no, think about it. Does it really matter if the Klingons get credit? I don't know. You know, yeah, none of... You know.
I mean, the last line, he's just like, it doesn't matter? He's like, yeah, no, it's... who gives a fuck with those clouds? Yeah. Like, you know? Like,
we're alive, and that's what matters.
Exactly. I don't understand how they could leave... It's a problem. It's a problem that upsets me because this is not a good example. I think this is a good episode to watch. It's entertaining because it's so ridiculous. But it is not a good example of how good TAS can be.
There was at some point there was like an alarm that was going like boop boop, and it sounded like it was just somebody going like boop.
Well, there was also that they used the beaming sound effect for like going into a time tunnel. You know, stuff that. There was just sort of, and again, I know it's low budget,
it's like
but
the fade in and fade out.
It was just weird.
And speaking of life or death, they were talking about if there's a squabble on from people on your ship, she's like, your crew must pay the ultimate sacrifice. Now, what is the ultimate sacrifice? The ultimate sacrifice.
Like they freeze them or
right,
something?
Right. No, so
they describe the ultimate sacrifice.
No, I do. But here's my question is when you hear ultimate sacrifice, he made this.
That means they're going to kill you.
That means death. When they talk about making the ultimate sacrifice, that means dying. But all they were talking about is freezing you for a star century, I think they called it.
Which we're not clear if that means a century in their time passage. Or outside.
How is that,
I don't know.
How is that? They're not cool with violence, but like that's. And how is that not? That's a kind of violence.
And they were talking about it's the ultimate sacrifice. So first of all, it's not death. Second of all, you might think, okay, well, it's 100 years. That's fucked up. But then they go on to say, actually, 100 years isn't shit where we're from. So it didn't sound like that ultimate of a punishment to me. I don't know.
It was unclear. I agree. You have to be careful when you use terms like ultimate and unique. Things are not very unique. They
timeless.
Are just. They are simply unique or not unique.
Yeah, and if you're gonna make
binary,
and if they said 100 years is not. They said 100 years is like
that's
nothing
really
to them.
That's really unique.
So they could have been. They said 100.
He's trying to get my goat, Jesse.
They said 100 years wasn't that long to them, so they should have at least amped it up to like 1,000 years or something.
Big
I don't
coincidence.
Know.
Or
I
like mean, a billion years.
Or
billion
just killed
years.
Them. If they killed them, then it would be fine.
All right. I think that's enough of that crazy ass episode. We'll take a break, and when we get back, we will talk about the ambergris element.
We don't have to, but we will
talk about something else.
Ambergris.
We will. We'll be right back.
Ambergris.
Yeah, no, it makes it. It's like a person named Amber who's greasy.
Amber Grease.
All right, we are back. We have returned and are ready to talk about Star Trek: The Animated Series.
Talk about Star Trek: The Animated
Series. The Amber Grease
element. Some would call the ambergris element.
Yes.
They remember that on Bob's Burgers.
Bob's.
Yes. I do. There's an episode of Bob's Burgers that focuses on the children finding a hunk of ambergris or ambergris, which used to be used, I think still is in some sectors, in like perfumes and stuff like that, right?
It's some kind of whale excrement.
It's whale vomit. It's sort of like a whale tonsil stone.
Right.
You know, and by the way, folks, if you've never had a tonsil stone, they're the most terrible things in the world. They don't cause any pain. They just cause a tremendous amount of disgust.
They're
gross. Very gross. Look them up. All right.
So yeah, but they're
a tremendous amount.
But they're waxy. Didn't somebody used to eat ambergris? Weren't they talking about some show where someone would eat the ambergris?
Who's they talking about? What are you talking about?
Some show they were talking about eating ambergris.
What show?
I don't know. That's why I say, like, what was the show?
Okay. All right.
What are you talking about?
He's talking nuts.
I wrote eating ambergris in Google, and the first response, the first result I got was a taste of edible feces.
Edible feces.
I guess that's ambergris.
Well, I guess if you're going to have an option.
It has a fecal
odor. Between various feces. And it's not feces. I believe it is vomit.
It says it has a fecal odor.
All right.
And today I found out, it says, why do people eat whale poop? Yeah, it doesn't come out their butt.
First of all, important point, I'm almost positive that they came up with the title of the episode before the plot.
Yeah.
Because ambergris is, it's a whale-associated thing. Very loosely in this episode, there's a sea creature that's involved somehow, but they don't... It's the venom of the sea creature. It's not the vomit of it. So it's
like,
there's no, like, ambergris in this episode. So I think they just thought it sounded cool.
It was some kind of tentacled shrimp fish.
And it's not an element.
Well, they were talking about getting it from a Denebian...
They were talking about venom.
They were talking about getting it from a Denebian whale.
No, they said it... They said that the
giant
sur snake. The sur
snake... No, they said a Denebian whale.
No, the sur snake is the name of the thing.
They know that.
It had a stomach similar to a Denebian whale. That's the only reference to a whale in this entire episode, and it's in reference to the stomach of the creature being somewhat similar to another whale that's not even an earth whale. So I'm just saying, I think it's a stretch to reference ambergris in this context. I stand by that argument.
Fine. If that's what you say, then fine. You must be right.
So
if you say it, it must be right. Okay, if that's what you say, it must be right. I'm wrong. You're right. Oh, of course. Okay. Oh, no. If you say it, it must be right.
I'm excited to hear that you are admitting fault and agree with me.
No, I do. I'm
excited about
it. What you
that.
Say makes sense.
So they're
all sarcasm
they're
aside.
They go to this planet to study this planet because it's identical to the Federation planet, identical to Argo, but they never name what its name is.
No, this one, yeah. And
the planet, but this planet is more important than Argo because they don't know anything about Argo other than its fucking name.
Yeah, well,
but
this,
the other planet doesn't have a fucking name.
Yeah, so the planet they want to save doesn't have a name. This planet is named Argo, and it's an ocean planet, so it's like Jason and the Argonauts.
Right.
On the nose.
Lame.
Oh, they were talking about ambergris in Futurama.
But the Argo is a boat.
Yeah, the Argonauts. They're like the astronauts of the boat.
Right.
the Argo.
It wasn't water.
I did enjoy this episode more than the previous one. It's still,
no,
I think.
I hated it more.
Oh, you hated it more? Oh, that's good.
Well, this
that's
episode was
dissension.
Well, so this episode was more action-packed for sure, but both this episode and the last episode suffered from tension that never existed.
Yeah, there was limited
like,
tension.
Like with that weird shrimp fish thing, that the sur snake monster thing, when that thing was chasing him around, it was just kind of like, oh, we're being chased for a while, and oh, a thing fell on it. Now it's not chasing us anymore. There was never
well,
any tension.
They zapped it with a laser.
Yeah, but it was all tied. It was already tied up at that point when
they got
the venom out of it.
No, no. The very first time they encountered it, they phasered it and it stunned it, I guess, and it sank to the bottom. And then they were investigating it, and then it started. It woke up and started throwing them around again.
They had a stupid shuttle.
They had what they called an aqua shuttle, which, by the way, had an outboard motor on it at one point. Like when they were first out. Well, no, the first aqua shuttle got destroyed, but then the rescue ship that came was just like a speedboat with a. It was like a Federation speedboat. It straight up was just like.
Yeah, that's right. And it said NCC.
Fucking hilarious. And they were just zooming around. And by the way, this episode, they have like this red shirt guy who looks like he's fucking 60 or something. No offense to 60-year-olds, more power to you, but he looked noticeably weirdly old for a red shirt, and he totally doesn't die. You keep thinking the red shirt's going to die because he's being attacked by a monster and he's next to McCoy, and you think that the red shirt's going to die and McCoy's going to survive, but no, the red shirt's just fine.
That was another anticlimactic part, is at the very end, they tried to build tension with Venom because they left early, and Kirk was like, we need to get more of this stuff, and then Rila, who is the Aquan Heroin Aquan. She was
heroin.
She was saying like, no, we got to get out of here. So we got to get out of here. So we're led to believe that they didn't get enough venom. And then when they take it back to McCoy, McCoy's like, we don't know how much of this stuff to give. What's gonna happen? And they're like, oh no, what's gonna happen? And they give it to Kirk, and Kirk's all like, oh no, he's getting sick. Oh no, no, no. And then it's like, oh, he's getting better. He's getting better. Okay, cool. He made it. There was no tension in that, and there was supposed to be. If they had that red shirt guy, who I think might have been Clayton, who had the box guy voice. If they killed him, that would have been the tension. Like, they should have given him too much venom, and it should have killed him off.
The only good thing I thought was, like, the funny, like, swimming animation, where they're all, like, their legs are all swish, swish, swishing. And, like, there's, and then they did that in a lot of cartoons of the time.
Yeah.
That was, like, how people looked when they were swimming. A lot of the action, more action kind of.
There was more visual stuff in this episode, the whole underwater world and city and all that.
Yeah.
Even though some of the decisions that they made were a little bit odd, like the whole scene where they swim down, they try, and then they come across the aliens, you know, the aqua people, the frog fish people, and they're all like, get away from here. And then and then Kirk and Spock are all like, well, why are they being mean to us? And then then all of a sudden they're like, there's like a crevice, and they're like,
it's a crevasse, actually.
Crevasse.
There's a crevasse, and they're all like, oh, they probably, it's, something's down there. And then Spock goes on this whole thing. He's like, oh, yeah, frightened and scared
yeah.
creatures, like, go hide in fucking holes. And I was like, who's hiding in the hole? Is it the, and I guess we figure out, oh, it's the whole civilization.
Yeah.
Somehow in the crevice, like, getting, going through the crevice gets you to this big civilization.
And they were, and he was also talking later about how species resort to barbaric, like, behavior or whatever when there's like, you know, seismic distress or whatever. Like, and so I wasn't really clear on, oh, by the way, when they're swimming towards that crevasse, did you notice that they forgot to paint them in one of the cells?
No, they
were all white.
Yeah, but that must have been a decision, because they reused that animation repeatedly where
they
just
did it twice. Yeah.
Yeah, where they showed them just all unpainted,
right? But then,
which I presume was supposed to be like an underwater effect. It just looked like they were unpainted.
No, because they have the other effect where they're walking, they're on the distance, and they did this in this episode where they're black and it's
yeah.
a silhouette,
the silhouette, which is that, classic and awesome.
Yeah, but then they're white, and it made no sense why they were white. And it's funny, because you notice their eyes. Their eyes are
the flesh colored yes.
eyes.
TAS is famous for the flesh colored eyes.
That's true for the Klingons and the humans, but the Orion had lip colored eyes. That was the only difference. Yeah. That was weird.
It was like greenish, weird. Yeah, it was like a different type of green.
Sorry, but I have to say this before I go crazy. Ambergris, they use it in perfume. Did you know that?
Yeah, I said that earlier.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can move on from here.
Yeah, I'm glad you have confirmed that fact.
Okay.
Good.
So what was the deal with these ancient people? The ancient people, basically, it's like, let me see if I got this straight.
All right.
If we were living today, which we are, and then some
okay,
shit.
Thank God.
some shit went down, and everyone, like, we had the zombies attack, and, like, always what happens in zombie shows is people try to eat each other, right? And so, everyone's trying to eat us, and everyone. And I'm sorry.
I was with you, and now I'm less with you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I take that back. Everyone's trying to kill each other, because when the zombies come out, there's anarchy, and then people all start fighting each other for resources.
What's the whole business with the zombie business?
I'm talking about, instead of a seismic event, it was zombies attacking. Just imagine
some sort of big event, upheaval,
sabotage,
cataclysmic.
Yeah, so think of zombies attacking or Mad Max scenario where people are fighting each other for resources, basically, and it's on a tribal level, a person-to-person level. So that's what was happening back then. There was anarchy, people were killing each other, right? And then these Aquans...
There was anarchy, dogs and cats sleeping
so
together.
There was, so these, so a group of these people split off and just said, we're going to escape these people by turning us into fish. We're going to be fish people now, and we're going to go to the bottom of the ocean, and that way we can get away from all these assholes that are trying to kill us. But really, they're part of the same species, and over time, they sort of, it amplifies and amplifies, and now they're super fish people, and I guess all the air, like, they're
frogfish people.
They're frogfish people, okay. And I guess all the, they're old school landwalking people are all killed off, because I thought we were going to see those. I thought we were going to see those land people at some point, but we didn't.
I have a different interpretation.
Okay.
But I think there's some inconsistencies that are going to encourage misinterpretation.
Inconsistencies!
And it may be that I myself have misinterpreted this.
I myself.
Yes, I myself may have misinterpreted.
I myself. I, for one.
I will admit that is a possibility.
I personally.
Myself
think
and
that,
me.
Yes, I myself.
It's I myself.
I myself
and me.
Just I. You're one person.
Yes, but I'm using the term myself to accentuate and
right.
draw attention to
it's,
the fact
it's language,
that
Dan.
I'm speaking
language.
About my own self.
I'm going to be honest with you, Patrick.
I'm not
going to be honest with you, Patrick.
This is an opinion.
I'm going to be honest with you right now, Patrick.
I'm suspicious of that fact right now, Dan.
Because I've been lying to you up until now. But I'm letting you know now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know about that.
I'm not into those riddles with the two doors and the angel.
No, I'm just saying, like, you say things like...
I'm not into that kind of
when
stuff.
When you say, like, to be honest with you, or I myself, they're just extra words.
Yes, the human language is filled
it's
with extra
language,
words,
man.
And there's a certain art to how you put those words together. And if you want to have clarity,
it's called English.
In
I'm just saying, no. The reason I'm pointing it out is not.
I'm staking out a position, and I want to make sure that I'm clear that the position that I'm staking out may, in fact, be in error.
The only reason I point it out is not because I actually give a shit about that stuff. It's that some people arbitrarily decide to give a shit over random things like that. Like, I knew this guy who had a really big problem when people would say, like, I'm not saying nothing, I'm just saying. He hated that. He thought it was, like, one of the biggest problems of the youth of today. Some old dude I knew.
Really? That's weird.
He really hated when people said, like, I'm not saying nothing, I'm just saying. And I get it. I'm not saying nothing, I'm just saying. Doesn't really mean anything, but it's an accent to the all conversation. Right. So if you're going to pick one thing to be mad at, why not be mad at all of them?
So I myself believe that the correct interpretation...
I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying.
The correct interpretation
is... I don't have a problem with that, though. But this guy did.
There were people on land. There were people on land. They all lived on land. And,
I'm saying he was arbitrary.
And the problem is the episode describes two different scenarios, but puts them together and they're inconsistent. In the scenario that makes sense... The people who lived on the land, there started to be bad seismic activity. Shit was going bad. Some of them figured out, oh, we can use our medicine, our advanced technology, to genetically engineer ourselves to survive.
That's
in the
exactly
ocean.
What I just said.
Yes. Yes, I understand that.
Here's where we diverge.
I don't think they were zombies. I don't think
the I didn't say the zombies was... that was not even the point.
But
I
don't understand the utilization of the analogy
because,
of the zombies
because,
if you didn't want to compare the fish
no,
people
because I'm saying,
to being treated like
to
zombies.
Me, but to me, it helped me picture why people would suddenly go turn against each other. Because I was thinking,
Sabotage.
Why did people just want to suddenly... Why did everyone want to kill each other?
But they didn't want to turn against each other. It was one group... turning against the other group. The other group was not trying to...
See,
like,
now that's where it stops making sense, because why would... Because that's why I brought up...
The fish people were just trying to live in the sea.
No, no, because the reason I brought up zombies was to make the comparison. When I think of a zombie show or a zombie book or whatever, always the problem is that when the zombies attack, you figure out how to deal with the zombies, but then the problem becomes all the non-zombie people... fight each other and form tribes and all that kind of stuff. And I was saying it was one of those situations minus the zombies. But yeah. You're saying it was one group versus another. And I'm saying, why would there only be two groups? Why wouldn't it just be a bunch of tribes?
Maybe a more sophisticated television program would have employed that sort of narrative strategy. However, again, the point I'm making is we are not watching such a program. We are in fact watching a program that is significantly less sophisticated than what you're describing. Because here's the other problem.
Okay.
I just want to finish the main point is the reason there's a problem is they describe one story that seems to suggest a gradual separation, a gradual leading to conflict that then erupted into whatever the final... But they also talk about, oh, the city's just fucking sank into the sea.
Spock said that the continental shelf sank in a few minutes. He said a few minutes, which I don't know how he could know that.
Now, you could square that by saying maybe there was all sorts of terrible seismic stuff for a long time, and so then they were doing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, the rest of the land people died because the shit sank in the sea, leaving just the
in a few
people
minutes.
Over.
A few minutes.
I think that's the most charitable interpretation of this to make it all square.
It's probably heavy.
Is that what?
Is that there was a lengthy period in which they knew shit was going bad, and then boom, the big quake hit, and all the remainder of the surface breathers died off, or whatever.
Okay. Right? Do you think the people who went to the ocean did so because they were running away from the surface breathers, or do you think they just saw that this was going to happen, and so they were like, we better get away from this?
It's not 100% clear.
Were they afraid of the seismic activity, or were they afraid of the people?
I took it as the latter. And I'm
the
not,
people.
No. The latter from your previous
stating of it, but when you restated your argument, you reversed the former. Yeah.
So the former,
oh, man.
The latter than the
Are
former.
You serious?
If we're gonna,
yes,
just to be clear, the latter than the former.
The former latter.
So
what do you call a latter that you break? A former latter.
Oh my god!
It's not, it's barely a joke.
Do you think that Spock and Kirk?
How did you break it?
when they were
you pooped on
when
it.
They were water breathers and they were hanging out in sick bay. Do you think they were hanging out in like the special pods they used to take care of the cetacean crew, the cetacean ops crew?
That was,
are they
a good
using
question.
Cetacean ops at this?
Well,
point?
Those are some small. Those are some it, small. In, those in are some small world, but, small cetates because like that was not a very
small
big,
cetates.
Cetates.
Cetaceans.
There were small cetates.
Cetaceans, I think,
a cetate.
Is the polite term.
It's a polite term. Well, it was a small. It was
Kirk
a
had them webby hands.
He did.
They were all webby.
The webby hands, I could buy. I was like, okay, he's got webby hands, but his lungs went away. I kind of had a hard time.
They
should have
given them gills, but
that.
They didn't want to animate the gills.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah,
the should've. Gills would have made sense.
And the
it
lungs.
It wouldn't have been a lazy show.
And the lungs wouldn't have just disappeared in the course of. So they were gone for 5 days before they found them, and then. They were like there for another 40. They were told there for a total of 7 days. I worked out the timeline. But speaking of sort of effort put into things, but going back to the point of star dates that we were talking about, TOS star dates, the star meaning nothing.
Star dates.
In the time trap, the star date was 52.2. I'd never heard of a star date that low. And in this one, which is the next episode, the star
52.2?
52.2.
That's fucking that's and, some wild shit, man. Yeah. The 1970s was some wild. I wish I was alive.
The next episode, but I know, we could have seen those awesome. Days. But the next episode, this one, the Amber Grace element.
Should we take another look at this script just to make sure it doesn't have any dumbass endings? Nah, let's go do a bunch of fucking lewds. Lewds and cocaine.
So the star date on that was 52.2. The one on the next one, the ambergris element.
Ambergris.
Is 5,499.9, yeah. Otherwise known as 5,499.99. So it went up.
Otherwise
that's known
like
as.
Star Trek Picard.
So that, like, that's over 100 times. Or wait, no, 10 100. Times. No, wait.
110 times.
Yeah, that's over 100 times
that's
the star
like
date.
An order of magnitude higher.
That's like over 100 star dates times the star
man,
date.
Man, you got so many star dates.
So that must have been over 100. That must have been like 100 star dates, 100 more star dates from then. That's too. It was. I have a hard time believing the difference. Anyways, So we were talking about the people and
the whole.
Oh yeah,
the ruling
another,
tribunal.
So
not the ruling council.
The ruling tribunal.
Even though there seem to be more than three people, isn't a tribunal usually three people?
What you call four? Quadribunal.
Sure, why not? But there's like a whole bunch of people hanging out there. I don't know how much of them had authority to vote.
Some of them were new, old, some of them were young, but we couldn't tell the difference.
But the young people were all about helping out the humans.
Yeah, yeah,
and
but
Vulcan.
But
the humans and Vulcan.
Vulcan. What was the name of that that head guy, Dorian or something?
I don't remember. I didn't write down their names because I couldn't care to.
It was I couldn't care to.
In this episode,
it wasn't.
I couldn't care to write.
It wasn't
down
Cadmar.
Find the care.
It wasn't Cad. So it wasn't Cadmar. It was like Domar. Domar of the High Tribune.
That sounds familiar.
Right. So
that sounds stupid.
So we already established that the young people are the ones that saved him, right? And then when Kirk comes back, he goes, your scientists induced these mutations. This is after they were turned in, left, and then they came back, right? And so we've established that it was the young people that saved him and did this to him, right? But then Domar goes on to say, we do not wish to kill even air breathers. Your memory was eradicated, so you cannot return here. So now it's saying that Domar, before it was the young people that saved him, now they're saying Domar of the Elder, Domar saved him.
Well, see, I don't remember because I wasn't paying attention to the name so much. So I
never written down Domar.
I get that. If there's an inconsistency there, it passed me by because I was just getting the message the young people are not as set in their ways as the old people. The old people are set in their ways because they have some either direct or cultural memory of fighting
and
with
that,
air breathers,
that,
so they
that,
have prejudice
that,
against air breathers.
And that makes sense, but then Domar goes on to say, we do not wish to kill even air breathers.
Yes, because they are more peaceful people.
So we're to believe that they didn't. And they didn't save them, but they also didn't kill them.
Well, then later they were perfectly happy to kill them by stranding them and having them suffocate on land.
Do they ever go to
right,
a
exactly. So at first they didn't want to save them, then they didn't want to kill them, and then they did want to kill them. They went through three stages.
Yeah, but to be fair, they did not specify that they have like some hard and fast like anti-death penalty rule. He was like, "We don't want to kill you,
but we will.
But we will if you make us."
I don't know. It was not clear to me. The whole thing was not, because it sounded like the young saved him, then it sounded like the old saved him, and I just was confused.
Well, and then the young lady saves them by getting help from Scotty. And then that's where the episode gets extra. It's like they ran out of time or something because they just like they just float down to
Arela.
Yeah. And then they float down to that city, and then they go in and they just go into like an office. And then that race of people, that alien species, happens to use traditional like historical human symbols for medicine.
And they said, yeah, that was weird. And that torso one Spock was saying was stood for mutation. Where does that come from?
Well, I was going to say there was all these scroll cylinders that held ancient scrolls that had like medical technology on them and
knowledge records.
Knowledge records. Yeah. And they just is like a bunch of them, and then there's just Spock is just like, "Oh yeah, it's this one." But then they leave with two of them, which I guess is enough as it turns out, but it was just it was so fast.
Yeah.
And then they're like, "Oh, we need another challenge. There's got to be like that's the pattern of this show. There has to be one more barrier." So they're like, "We'll sick that fucking snake monster motherfucker on them," except then the sea quake happens and it crushes them.
Yeah, just like, oh cool, I guess. So that's okay.
They didn't have, like you said,
and I
Dan,
thought he was dead.
No tension.
I thought he was dead, but he apparently wasn't. They brought him back and then zapped his tooth to get some venom out of it. Yeah. But he was tied up at that point. And then I think something fell on him again or something. I can't remember, but
well, yeah. And then there was the whole the ordainments. They kept calling the ordainments. They made a noun out of a verb.
Yeah, that was weird.
To ordain. The ordainments, which I guess are supposed to be like a way of saying commandments, but they didn't want to have that biblical tinge that commandments have.
Ordain is still biblical.
One of the young ones says, "Ordainments are useless in times of turbulence. Only knowledge will help us." But weren't the ordainments made based upon knowledge in the first place? Wouldn't that make sense? Like, ordainments didn't just come from nothing.
Talking about turbulence, Rila wasn't joking about them strong tides when there was that one point where Kirk and Spock were all slurped them in. How'd they get out of that if the tides were going in there? Anyway.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Another
minor thing to say.
Yeah, so I didn't... Yeah, the whole ordainment young thing, and then they got sucked into the thing, and then the stuff happened with the people, and then, like, there was some monsters, and then there was the big monster, and then they sucked the venom out, and then... The planet was made of green water and brown mountains and brown trees, and when, that part where they fell down, or Scotty's fell down, at one point it looked like they were just standing and talking to each other as if they were in a normal location, in the ship, except the background was this green water instead of the ship background. Yeah. So that's how we knew they were floating in water, is because there was a green background, but they looked like they were like just standing there. And then it just looked like they were floating, like they were in space. And the only time they actually looked like they were swimming is when they did a swimming motion. But every other time, they could have been anywhere. Did you notice sometimes in the episodes you could see these like flecks on the cells that look like floaters, eye floaters or something? And sometimes there would also, like, the right side, when it was black on black space, it would like kind of like dim and become a little whitish, like it was worn down. You could very easily see like the cells recycling.
Yes, they were just reusing cells, and they were dirty and grease covered fingers just eating french fries. Like, all right,
my god.
gotta call my wife, tell her I'm gonna be late because I'm animating tonight.
I'm animating. Yeah.
And at the end, Kirk had that weird smile. Ah, yes. Teeth.
Oh, that music, after the music, there goes, dur, 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 dur.
Yeah, it was Kirk's toothy jackrabbit grin, where he has no teeth lines or anything. He's just got his lips all pulled back.
Strange.
It was the strangest way, because they were making a weird joke, because the elder was all like, "We will make new ordainments."
Yes, I just got it.
And then Rila is like, "And these ordainments we will promise to keep."
Right, and then Kirk gives his goofy like, "Hey,"
he's just a fucking like Joker smile. It's not quite a Joker smile. Right. What it is it's the kind of smile you give when, like, his eyes didn't smile. It was like almost like a chimpanzee baring its teeth.
I mentioned this briefly a minute ago, but this makes sense because it was a callback. Because Nefer goes, "But the ordainments clearly state that capturing Sir Snakes is forbidden." And the male goes, "Ordainments are useless in times of turbulence. Only knowledge will help us." So this one guy is pushing for the ordainments. The young guy is pushing for knowledge, but they're the same things. Ordainments come from knowledge. And that's what they did in the end. They turned the new knowledge into an ordainment.
Was it?
It all came around.
But they also they had were to being, break the previous
they were
ordainment.
Being, they were being ironic on purpose when they were saying not knowledge, only knowledge will help us when the ordainments.
Are they
that
ever
was being ironic
find
on purpose.
Planet
that was a setup.
Full of complete
that
fucking
was,
idiots.
That was a setup. That was a setup to the point they were making at the end where we can say it's okay to update our commandments.
This episode was better written than the previous one because the previous one had an ending that was fucking ludicrous and didn't make any sense. This one, you could argue with the degree of sophistication of the joke slash callback. You could argue with how funny it is. You could argue with the artistic choice to have Kirk have a bizarre ass smile at the end.
Yeah.
But it at least it makes sense structurally.
I would say what's interesting is I'm kind of along with Jesse in that I think I enjoyed the first time trap more, but like, here's the thing. This is a better episode. It's more action packed and it's better written, but there's something about the time trap that I was just like looking at all the madness and it was just kind of entertaining me. But,
yeah, I can see that
this part, they were just kind of going from A to B to A to B and it's like, oh, now we're going to zip over here. And oh, now there's that monster again. Oh, pesky monster and blah, blah, blah. But like this one had more going for it and was more thought provoking for sure.
The monster was pretty cool.
Maybe I'd have to watch it again,
authentically.
Watch them both again.
I think
but I
always watched it after I watched the, you know, the one that comes before it. Of course, I watched them in order, and I was always like sort of sick of it all by the time I got to this one.
Maybe that was it. I should have watched the ambergris incident element first. Maybe I should have watched that first because it was a better episode. I just like when stuff about like episodes about time, even when they make no sense at all. It's just always like, yeah, time. Let's think about time for a while. That's stupid. You know, what's up with the Vulcans always saying that time, it's like time travel is illogical and they believe in, they're actually due to something about like micro singularities and stuff. But there's plenty of evidence that a lot of people in Starfleet have gone back in time, but the Vulcans are still like, it's illogical.
Enterprise has gone back in fucking time.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I can't remember.
Spock doesn't seem to have that big a problem with time travel.
Which Vulcan was it that had a problem with time travel? Because I remember one, maybe
T'Pol. You're thinking of T'Pol.
That was back in the day.
So that Enterprise. Was before. That was,
it was
before. Yeah.
It was in the before times.
That was the before times. When they wore awesome, Air Force singlets or whatever. They're not called singlets.
Coveralls.
Coveralls. Yes.
Singlets.
They should all wear singlets.
All right. Any Unitar. any other points about this?
That was part of a different one.
Yeah, but and that one has like the cool like lead up before, like where it like all builds to the tension before it goes like.
Wait, hold on.
And the Lord came down upon thee
with a bunch of ordainments.
Yes, great ordainments and furious knowledge.
Yeah. All right. Anything else about these episodes?
No.
Do you think Gene Roddenberry ever saw these cartoons and was like, this animation is kind of cheesy, yo?
I think he saw Cash Money in his pocket.
It won awards for like good, you know, good children's.
No, I'm not yet. Here's the thing is, and I still hold to like what we were saying about the first episode, how like it was so cool that they could make these awesome backgrounds and stuff. But the animation itself is that filmation.
It's
cheesiness.
A little lazy, but I mean,
but they're strong with the, when they do have the awesome, when they create these landscapes, it's kind of awesome.
There were definitely better episodes than this.
Yes.
Because it's all about the story. The animation is meaning, it can be stick figures and you'll enjoy it.
Right.
If the story is interesting, sufficiently interesting.
Cause
and other episodes have pulled that off. These two did not.
So this was made by Filmation, who made He-Man. I remember He-Man. He-Man was the show where I first started wondering where they went to the bathroom. You know, that show where you're like, when do these people pee? You know, and I was like,
during the commercials.
I secretly knew that they didn't show them peeing on purpose, but I was kind of like, What do they do when they pee?
Before you get up for that
did they ever
snack,
show them peeing on accident?
I want you to know I'll be right
by
back.
Accident.
Ha! You're doing what some Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah, they. What if they accidentally peed? Like, they forgot to cover up. What if they animated it and forgot to cover up
maybe
a boob or
those,
something?
Maybe
there's, what if
those,
there was a
those,
nip slip?
Maybe that's what those flicks were. Nip animated nip flips?
Nip slips. Nip flips. Nip slips. Sam and Jam as nip slips.
Mamma Jam.
Nah, they do that on purpose. We all know that the animators frequently would do, not on this show, perhaps,
you know,
but.
With their Speedos they were wearing, those Aquans, they reminded me of basically less buff He-Man characters.
It's all very similar.
Yeah.
It's very similar models used over and over
again. And like Scooby-Doo, when they would swim around on Scooby-Doo, it was a similar kind of thing. And like there were other shows like action cartoons, I forget.
Scooby-Doo wasn't Filmation though.
No, it wasn't, but that was like the style of how they showed people swimming back in like the 70s.
Yeah.
70s cartoons.
Oh, at one point, Aquans said they were collecting edibles. Do you think they were collecting weed?
Or they were like some of them, those superhero cartoons, like the Justice League.
Do you think they were collecting weed when they said edibles? Weed?
Probably not.
I don't.
It was probably the writer thinking like, this is how aliens talk.
Yeah, aliens and waters talk like in waters.
I don't think that was not the Star Trek ship that was smoking
what
weed.
What did Filmation do?
They did a bunch of stuff.
They didn't do any superhero shows.
The general vibe of animation.
Again, there was a
Oh, they did
style.
Aquaman. They did Aquaman, The Adventures of Superboy. Bust You. The new Adventures of Superman.
Is that a term? Bust You?
Yeah.
Yes.
Man. They did a lot of them. They did a lot of DC stuff, apparently.
Got to catch up.
Hawkman.
All right. I think that concludes our discussion of these two episodes.
These two.
These two.
Both of these episodes.
These two episodes.
Both of these episodes.
Next week, we are very delighted to get back to covering Star Trek that's new. New Star Trek.
New Star Trek.
New Star Trek.
New Star Trek. It's new Star Trek.
Hopefully a better episode than these
this
two.
Is my new character,
yeah,
Star Trek.
Say, Dan is trying out some new
that's
characters.
That's a new character.
This is my new character, Star Trek.
You sound kind of like
Harry Carey. Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey.
Green Street? Is it Sidney Green Street who was in the Maltese Falcon?
I don't know what you're talking about. It must have taken place in Malta.
All right. Well, we're
going to
be covering...
Let's go to Malta.
We're going to... No, the Falcon is Maltese. It doesn't take place. Never mind. Next week, we will be talking about...
The Millennium Falcon.
The Millennium Falcon over to Malta.
Lower Decks. Star Trek Lower Decks starts up again next week. So,
no.
Yes.
No.
Season 3. We are all super excited because we are huge fans of Lower Decks, and we expect great and wonderful things.
I like when she's all smartass and he's all neurotic.
Who?
In Lower Decks.
Who's he? There's many characters.
You'll just have to guess.
Okay, I think I probably can guess. Yeah, so we'll be talking about Lower Decks next week, and for the next number of weeks after that. So follow along with us, and... otherwise, with
follow
that,
along.
We will say goodnight to you this evening.
Goodnight to you this evening.
And we hope that listening to this episode does not reduce the chances that you will tune in again next week.
Tune in. Yeah, they're going to fucking tune in.
All right.
We blew
Get
it.
Those dials out.
Goodbye, everybody.
They should make a podcast player with a tuner dial.
Yeah, I'm sure you can buy something like that in New York City, in Manhattan.
New York City.
Brooklyn, I'm sure they sell all sorts of stuff just like that.
Brooklyn?
Right. Brooklyn. Brooklyn. Not Massachusetts. What are you talking about? Right. Good night. Bye-bye.
I picked up some indication they are planning to sabotage the Enterprise.
Sabotage.